Hello, happy Friday to you. I hope you got a good weekend planned. I'm going to watch a lot of football, but that makes me happy and keep up with some other things going on. Anyway, welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on my YouTube channel. Thanks for subscribing. Please consider subscribing if you haven't. You support my efforts. And as I try to grow this YouTube channel, thank you for always hitting the like button and thank you for your comments, which help a lot. So thank you for helping me. Today I want to talk about what I think was really big news yesterday. And I've kind of held it off until this morning because I wanted to kind of absorb it and think about the information. And of course, I'm referring to the Cardinals announcing that they have basically stabilized their local TV package after this mess with Diamond Sports. And part of that will be something new and exciting, direct to consumer streaming of Cardinals games. Now, I've got some opinions on this, and I'm going to take you through some things, and I'm also going to talk about the Cardinals' revenue standpoint, their payroll standpoint, and how things could change now that the TV situation is solidified and you have new revenue source coming in with the streaming. But also with the sports book that'll be at Ballpark Village. It may not open until next summer or late next summer, but over time, that'll be a revenue source. There's no question about it. So what does this mean? If you don't mind, I'm going to go take it from the top. And yeah, I will be looking down because I do have a lot of notes and I'd rather deliver them clearly rather than stumbling around all over the place. And I didn't feel like setting up a big old teleprompter. So if I look down, it's nothing personal. I'm actually trying to help myself and help you. The Cardinals, as we mentioned, they have a new multi-year TV deal with the FanDuel Sports Network, formerly known as Bally Sports Midwest. The new agreement replaces the previous arrangement with the Cardinals in the new deal, agreeing to a lower rights fee. Instead of making $75 million this coming season under the terms of the original contract with the financially troubled Diamond Sports, the Cardinals, according to the great Derek Gould at STL Today, will receive about $57.3 million in that TV package in 2025. Now, the revenue could be adjusted. It could go up. It could go down a little, or maybe more than a little, based on the value of the sponsorships and the advertising deals that are part of the Cardinals' ongoing partnership with Diamond Sports that's been in place for a while. But for now, according to what my friend Derek Gould reported, the Cardinals are looking at a decrease of about 23% in their TV revenue, strictly in terms of traditional TV, right? Not the streaming. We'll get to that in a moment. But that decrease in the grand scheme of things means little because, and this is the big kahuna, because of the Cardinals' ability to negotiate with Diamond Sports and get the right, the freedom to stream games, that will create a really, really nice revenue stream for the Cardinals. How much at first, I don't know, but over time, it certainly will. And a lot of that depends on how good the ball club is. And that's what we're going to get into here in a little bit. So the Cardinals can offer the direct-to-consumer TV package for all of their games, except for the games that have been scheduled for exclusive national broadcasts, you know, like Fox and ESPN. Otherwise, the Cardinals, their fans, their consumers can purchase the streaming service and will not have to worry about blackouts. Hallelujah. This is what I am going to do. I am a YouTube TV subscriber. I like it a lot. The only minus is it did not have a existing deal with Diamond Sports in terms I was shut out of Cardinals games and shut out of Blues games. I was able to watch replays and all that stuff, but through a couple other websites. But the point is I could not watch live games. And even now with the Blues, I don't watch live games. But again, things are changing and changing quickly. And I can catch up with Blues games in another way, but it's on a delayed basis, not in real time. So let me just continue explaining this, because I know a lot of people have a lot of questions, and I don't mean to be redundant for those of you who don't have a lot of questions and do understand this for the most part. But let me just review this. I consider it a public service. Cardinals fans who watch the games through their current cable or satellite provider that already carries their games can keep what they have. If they want to, keep what you have. If you like your cable, your cable deal, you like, say, satellite, like DirecTV, whatever it may be, you can still access those broadcasts, those Cardinals games, through the usual way. So, in effect, nothing changes. If you're in the St. Louis area, nothing really changes. But the only hang-up, if that's the word, is those of you, and I have an MLB TV subscription as well. That's why I am able to watch the Cardinals games, not live, but on a delayed basis. They start after the post-game show is over, and then I can access the games. And I'm a night owl, so I don't mind staying up. And there's also condensed games you can watch where you can go through the whole thing in about 15 minutes. But those of us that still have or do have an MLB TV subscription will still be subject to the blackout rules depending on where they live. If fans reside in the Cardinals' designated TV territory, the blackouts are going to apply, but only on MLB TV. In case you're wondering, and I want to thank again STL Today, they had the information on their site this morning. So what areas are we talking about where the blackouts would apply? Not on the streaming. Just take streaming out of this for now. I'm talking about the way you have been getting your Cardinals games and even your Blues games, but we're talking about the Cardinals right now. So what areas are we talking about? Well, according to STL Today, the Cardinals TV territory includes most of Illinois and Missouri, all of Iowa, Arkansas and Oklahoma, parts of Southeast Kansas, Northwest Mississippi, Western Tennessee, Western Kentucky, and Southwest Indiana. That's a pretty big territory. Unfortunately, those areas will be blacked out on MLB TV. You'll still have to live with that nonsense. But those of you in those territories that I just mentioned, you would not be blacked out. You could access Cardinals streaming service with no obstacles, no hangups, no blackouts, no annoyances. You just watch on, right? So that this is a really good thing. It's a really good thing because you don't have to give up what you have, but you can add this. What do you think it'll cost? That's a question I've already gotten a lot of. I've been doing some research, and we can expect the Cardinals FanDuel digital streaming fee to land at around $20 per month. And I'm not just like flinging a number out there. I have been looking around, poking around, trying to get an idea of what the market is in other places. $20 per month. And I'm not saying that's exactly what it'll be, but it'll certainly be close to that range. And then again, that's based on what I've been able to learn about the price in other markets. Now, another thing about this, I assume there'll be a bundle option with fans having direct to consumer access to Cardinals and Blues games, right? And I know the Cardinals and Blues would like to stay together, and I know Bill DeWitt III has talked about that. They would very much like to have this so convenient, both franchises, to where, fans don't have to be moving all over the place. If they purchase the streaming service, they can count on getting the Blues and the Cardinals, right? And all right, well, will that be cost prohibitive? I don't think so, but it's your money and your decision, and it's not up to me to advise you what to do, but I can give you at least one reference point about cost. In Boston, the Red Sox and the Bruins sort of joined forces, if you will, and they are bundled. This has been going on for a couple of years now. They are bundled in a shared direct-to-consumer deal where you get both all the games, both teams, right, for $30 a month. So if we're looking for the Cardinals, the best guess is like Cardinals alone would be $20 a month. If we go by this Boston model, if you add the Blues to this, and it's two teams, then you probably are looking at around $30. And of course, I know there'll be discounts offered if you buy, you know, a whole season ticket and all that kind of stuff. Season ticket as in streaming. But listen, all that information is going to be coming out soon because the Cardinals are going to want to start selling this stuff, right? And I know the Blues are wanting, they already have their own streaming arrangement. But if the two teams get together in time, this will all be worked out and announced. I don't have the information today. So this is good news for Cardinals fans, not only because they'll be able to take advantage of the option to stream games on their television, their tablets, their smartphones, but this is the part I like, and this is the part that we have to talk about. I don't think it's been talked about that much. Cardinals fans, and I'm going to leave it just on Cardinals fans right now. Cardinals fans can, in effect, use this streaming service that the Cardinals have to sell to the fans. I mean, the fans have to be motivated to buy the streaming service, right? They got to be fired up. If they're on the fence, I'm not sure. You got to fire them up to buy it, right? So the fans have the power, at least to some extent, the fans will have the power to hold the team more accountable for an obvious reason. Because this direct-to-consumer streaming service is basically another version of ticket sales. The Cardinals will obviously, just like they want to sell as many tickets as they possibly can to home games, they're going to want to sell as many direct-to-consumer streaming packages in 2025 and beyond. They want to maximize ticket sales at home, and they want to maximize streaming revenue by offering their games for a price. This may not apply as much in terms of like the accountability, the initial accountability. I know some people will fuss anyway. Fuss all you want. I mean, seriously, it ain't for me to tell you how to feel. But I don't, where I sit, this doesn't apply like, well, we're going to hold them accountable right away. You can, that's cool. You know, whatever your feelings are and whatever you believe and wherever you want to take a stand, go for it. No fuss for me. But I look at it as like, listen, the Cardinals have actually been transparent about 2025. For once, they've been transparent because they pretty much tell you what they're going to do. They've even discussed how they would approach players that have no trade clauses and length on their contracts who may not want to sit through a relatively moderate rebuild. And the Cardinals wanted to gauge their players' feelings on this and if they wanted to stay. And the Cardinals, unlike past years, actually shared that kind of information. So I think they are trying to be a little more transparent. And it's overdue. It's long overdue, but I still welcome it anyway. So the Cardinals have not really tried to mislead anyone. And I'm talking about 2025. You know, they call it a reset year, but the way you've heard me say this too many times here on the Bernie Show channel, I don't really care what the title is, rebuild, reset, renovate, rehabilitate. The verbiage just doesn't matter. They're taking a step back and they have been pretty upfront. They have been upfront about taking a step back. This is not a year that is pointed towards, we got to do everything we can to get into the postseason and go from there. They're putting a lot of money into the restoration project, the farm system, the player development system. They're in the process of putting together all kinds of new hires in the minor leagues and also in the major league operation. They're upgrading technology. They're upgrading facilities. They're upgrading manpower, instructors, teachers, analysts, equipment. I mean, you name it. They fell so far behind the times, which is their fault. It's all on the DeWitts and John Mozeliak, but mostly the DeWitts. They fell so far behind, they have to really pump a lot of money into this thing to get it up to speed ASAP. And I am convinced that they're committed to doing that. Time will tell for sure. But Heim Bloom ain't going to come here and waste his time. If there wasn't a full commitment from ownership, and as I have told you in previous videos, he got that commitment, which is why he was happy to sign the deal and then become the president of baseball operations beginning after the 2025 season. Bill DeWitt told him, you go for it. You have our support. You go for it. After Chaim Bloom made a extremely comprehensive and lengthy presentation to Bill DeWitt and others in the executive level. So this will take some time, but a lot of money is being funneled into it. And if you want to be skeptical about that, be skeptical. The way it is, some fans are so upset, and I'm just having some fun here. Mosellac could go out like tomorrow and announce that they've acquired Shohei Ohtani for like Thomas Sejesi and Tekoa Roby and say Michael McGreevy, right? And you'd have about 33% of the people squawking about it, only because John Mosellac made the trade, right? We live in cynical times. I get it. Anyway, my point is you can hold the Cardinals accountable because you don't have to buy the streaming service. You probably want to. You're a fan. You're like me. I'm going to buy it because I would like to watch the games in real time. And it's important for me to do that. So anyway, in addition to the money that they're pumping into this huge project of player development in minor leagues, they've also aggressively trimmed the payroll so far this offseason. And I have a different way of accounting this, and it'll become apparent as I go along here. So listen, we can subtract the 2024 salaries of Paul Goldschmidt, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, Keenan Middleton, Andrew Kittredge, Matt Carpenter, Brandon Crawford. That includes buyouts. So that all comes off the books. And obviously what they would have made if the Cardinals had picked up options, well, that's immaterial now because those options haven't been picked up. So we're just subtracting from basically the 2024 payroll. And I mentioned all the guys that they were paying, and I didn't even include some people. Like, you remember the Cardinals gave Giovanni Gallegos had $5 million or so on his deal last year, and they this past season, and they released him because he pretty much got burned out. And I didn't include that in the total number here of payroll slashes, but I just point out that that's another thing they don't have to worry about as far as payroll going forward. But also, to me, we should include Tommy Edman on this list because the Cardinals, in trading Tommy Edman to the Dodgers, they realized a savings of $9.5 million because that's what Edman will make guaranteed in 2025. So if they had kept him, that's $9.5 million that would have went on the payroll for 2025 that's now not on the payroll for 2025. So based on my rudimentary mathematical skills, if you add all of these things up that I mentioned, the total comes to about $72 million, give or take a million or two, $72 million. So the Cardinals, listen, I also know that in theory, they could bring back, say, Kyle Gibson or maybe Matt Carpenter for much lower salaries for 2025. I am not endorsing it. I'm not recommending it. I am just offering a hypothetical. And if a couple of pitchers stay in place in 2025, the Cardinals will be able to move on from Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz after next season if they stay in place. And next season, Michaelis and Matz are going to be paid a combined $30 million in salary for 2025. So going forward, that's even less payroll money that the Cardinals have to worry about. That's more trimming. That's more cost cutting, not only going into 2025, but after 2025, some salaries get off the books and their payroll could become even lower, as you know, if they trade Ryan Helsley to closer this offseason. That move would remove an expected anticipated salary of around $9 million for Helsley, who's in his final arbitration year. And the estimates are about $9 million, maybe a little bit more. So that's money that would come off the books for 2025. If they trade him, they may not trade him, though. And maybe that's another video here soon, right? I'll explain why. And there's always, of course, something I've talked about a lot. There's always a chance that they would trade, can trade, will try to trade. Don't know if they will be able to pull it off, but third baseman Nolan Arenado. And while the Cardinals, I think, undoubtedly would have to eat a significant portion of the $64 million that's owed to Arenado that remains on his contract, the team would still emerge from that transaction with a lower payroll, with more salary off the books going forward. So what I'm trying to say, and I'm getting there, the Cardinals' payroll outlook in terms of ownership standpoints looking pretty good these days, right? Based on what I can tell, and I went used all the information at Cots Contracts for this, as of right now, as I speak to you at this very moment, the Cardinals have guaranteed commitments of $138.8 million on next season's 26-man payroll. And that could be a little less based on whether who you include or not include, but their final list of commitments adds up to $138.8 million on the 26-man payroll for 2025 as of right now. And for the 40-man payroll, the competitive balance tax payroll, that figure of commitments for next season is $141.4 million. But as I said, that could drop even more if they trade Helsley and or Arenado. And I guess it's possible they could trade Matz or Michaelis or both. Michaelis has a no trade clause. But I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying there's even the possibility of more moves that would slash payroll, right? So either way, the Cardinals will do just fine financially in 2025, even after selling fewer tickets to home games and all the concessions and all the beer and all the hot dogs and all the ballpark village visiting that comes with it, right? They will take a revenue hit. I mean, it's pretty obvious if fewer people go down there, right? Fewer people buy those tickets in advance, which is going to be the challenge this offseason. But the Cardinals, as we have talked about, they also have something else they have to sell. They want to sell and they have to sell to their fans, the digital streaming package. And soon enough, probably next summer, as I alluded to earlier, the Cardinals will have a legal sports book on the grounds at Ballpark Village. I'm assuming, and I can't be sure, that they'll partner with FanDuel on that business. And FanDuel's got partnerships with a pretty significant number of major league sports franchises, not just baseball. So they know what they're doing. And the Cardinals, based on the fact that, you know, they now have the FanDuel network that's going to be carrying their games, you know, it's a natural tie-in. And the Cardinals, depending on when the sports book is up and running at Ballpark Village, the Cardinals will be collecting a cut of the money generated by the sports book. I just don't know, A, when the sports book will open, and B, at what point does the Cardinals cut the money generated, you know, like really grow to a pretty high potential, where the potential becomes pretty high revenue. Like, in other words, it won't be in any kind of peak form next season because the sports book probably won't open until later in the season. So even if it's limited at first, that sports book revenue will probably grow and grow and grow over time. So if the Cardinals are decent in 2025, highlighted by some encouraging, exciting performances from their younger hitters and pitchers, in theory, the team would have a chance to pivot into contention for 2026. I said a chance, but that would also require ownership to be committed to increasing the payroll that this year is going to be really low, which leaves more room for growth. And if you like what you saw in 2025 and some boxes were checked, like Jordan Walker's better, Gorman's better, you know, right on down the line, you know what I'm talking about, then you might reevaluate where you stand for 2026. You may view yourselves differently. The Cardinals may view themselves as a competitive team that would have a shot at the wild card or something like that, or maybe even the division. Who knows? I'm not being Pollyanna. I ain't predicting a damn thing. I'm just saying there is at least a chance the Cardinals will rethink their philosophy or their position going into 2026. There is a chance. I'm not a swami here. I can't predict what they're going to do. But after 2025, I am comfortable saying this. I don't think the Cardinals will really have an excuse to keep the payroll so low. I mean, I really don't. Not with their costs going down next season, not with their direct-to-consumer streaming service that they really want to sell to the fans. They want the fans to purchase those games. Not with the stability that now comes with this renegotiated TV deal with Diamond Sports. Not with the successful citizen vote that passed allowing legal sportsbook operation in Missouri, and there will definitely be one at Ballpark Village. In effect, at Busch Stadium. And by the way, when this all passes, fans inside Busch Stadium watching the game can make legal bets. It just has to be done on their smartphone, you know. But it's the same thing. It's if you're not actually standing in a sports book. But anyway, that's just a side issue. Listen, the Cardinals have certainly strengthened their financial position because of these two new events, the streaming service and legalized sportsbook gambling, right? That stuff's coming. And that's why the news of the week is pretty damn big. The sportsbook partnership is big. The first ever team-offered streaming service, the Build-A-Wit the Third's been working on for years. That's now a reality. And if the DeWitts want these new business enterprises to really kick in and boom and make a lot more revenue for them, there's only two ways. Well, there's more than two ways, but two primary ways to do that. Number one, show the fans a renewed commitment to winning by spending more on payroll for 2026. And two, speed up the timetable on the rebuilding phase and put a more entertaining, successful, contending type team on the field ASAP as soon as possible. The streaming service will produce more revenue, but it's a matter of how much. That's why the Cardinals got to be motivated to sell as many of those streaming service packages as they can, because they benefit from it, right? Financially. And the streaming service could even exceed expectations in 2025. But imagine if you have a nice team on the field that the fans like. I'm sure more of them would make the leap and buy the streaming service in 2026, right? The sportsbook could be a popular destination for fans or people who just live around these parts or who visit here from the region, you know, nearby states to have a weekend baseball at Busch Stadium. Now you can add the sportsbook and Ballpark Village to it. And it isn't just the sport. Well, the sportsbook also means more spending at Ballpark Village, right? Because they're not just going to stand in the sportsbook and not have anything to eat or drink or not go to some of the other businesses there and have something to eat or drink or buy souvenirs or whatever. So the sportsbook is also a magnet for better business overall at Ballpark Village. So this is a win-win for the DeWitts, but now they'll have to reinvest the added revenue by putting it into the ball club, and the fans have the power to hold them accountable. So if this is a win for the DeWitts, and it clearly is, right? It's also a win for the fans because their hand is strengthened. They don't have to buy anything. It's up to the Cardinals to motivate them to buy the streaming service and to go down to the sports book. So the fans still have a lot of power in this particular relationship. That'll do it for now. Thank you for watching. I hope you learned something. If you didn't, you can go ahead and blast me in the comment section. It's all good. Might be back later. I hope so, because I want to be. Until then, take care. Have a good weekend if I don't talk to you later today.